So we're continuing Be'ezus Hashem with our sugya, Abaya and Rava, Hazmona Milsa, according to Abaya, Hazmona Lav Milsa, according to Rava. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu always organizes, guess what? I had a story this morning of Hazmona Milsa. Shaila Halacha Lemaisa, I had my tefillin Ritzuos changed. My old ones needed to be upgraded, so they were disappeared, they were taken off. And I gave my tefillin to somebody, and he not just bought me new yitzhak, he tied them on and got them all attached. And when I put on my tefillin this morning, I was thinking to myself, what is the halachic status of these ritzuos at the moment? Meaning, today, this morning, was the first time that I've used them. So there was clearly a hazmona. He put them on the tefillin. There's no greater act of hazmona than that, but they never had a maisa of hishtamshus. Oh, good morning, Reb Nachum. But when I used the tefillin, well, then we could certainly say that according to all opinions, is now a hazmona and also a shimush. So these ritzuos are now considered to be kodesh. Whereas before shachris, before I actually used them, then all there was a hazmona. Well, that will depend on the machlokas, abaye v'rova. We'll have to see on the next Amud how we paskin. Okay, says the Gemara, we're on the eighth or ninth last narrow line.
Just,
Tosh, huh?
Rebbe, just in that situation, isn't the fact that the Ritzuos are attached to the bottom that they're now Kadosh? Like it's like that, like that's why your Ritzuos shouldn't be on the floor
Because they're
because they're
Kaddish.
attached to the bottom, right?
No, because they're Kaddish. They're only Kaddish because you've had a hazmona and a shimush. Like we said early on in the Gemara, if you put a beged round a Sefer Torah, that's also connected to the Sefer Torah. It has no kedusha, unless there was a hazmona and a tashmish. You've got to have both, but one without the other. So it's true. We did say yesterday, whilst they are attached to the bais, then you could be right. But if I take them off, for example, if you take off the Ritzuos, imagine I would take these Ritzuos off and decide, actually, on second thoughts, I'm not happy with them. Have they got Kedusha? So before Shachris, according to the opinion of Hazmola Lav Milsa, they've got no Kedusha. After Shachris, they've definitely got Kedusha.
I recently switched my Ritzuos also, and I remember Rav Mendelsohn said to me, make
Remember.
sure that, remember, it's make sure on the yad that it's the length you want before you make that first bracha, because it's much easier to cut before you make that first bracha. So I guess he was referring to the Maisa.
Yeah. So my tefillin shel yad ritzua is actually they're quite lengthy, so I will cut them. But they need to go in geniza because they have kedusha. They need to go in geniza. By the way, some people don't know. Even the tefillin boxes, not the tefillin bag, but even the tefillin boxes need geniza if ever you replace them. Okay, says the Gemara. By the way, there was a request from one of the members of the shir who shall remain totally anonymous in order to protect his identity, but there was a request yesterday, maybe when we finish this sugya, to have a look at some of the relevant halachas in the Mishnah Berurah, which mainly pertain to talis and tefillin, etc., etc. So, Mitzvah Hashem, sometime next week when we get to the end of the sugya, all being well, we'll be able to do that.
Rebbe, one last thing.
Amen.
In the store or the warehouse of the Sofer, where he has all the Ritzuos on the shelf, those
Right.
are segmented for nothing other than tefillin. So Hazmona would apply there too. The question becomes, when they're in his warehouse, he has them so that when people order them, they become tefillin. So, right? So the question becomes whether they have Kedusha at that moment.
Right. According to the opinion of Hazmona Milsa, yes, that may well have Hazmona, although we'll still have to discuss because we saw yesterday the Hazmona only applies when the usage exists. If I dig a kever for somebody who's alive, the fact that he's going to use it after he dies is not even Hazmona. So we'd have to discuss also if somebody makes Ritzuos for a non-identified purchaser. Maybe that's not even called Hazmona. If I place an order and he makes Ritzuos for my tefillin, well, that's clearly Hazmona. But if he just makes 10 sets of Hazmona, but there's no, as it were, purchaser who's ordered them, we'll have to see in Halacha whether that constitutes a Hazmona. The truth is, okay, we'll see, Mr. Shem, when we get to the end of the Sugya with
I'm
regard
saying with the role of Ritzuos, and he has them in a role, and he just.
to. Yeah.
They're
Okay.
there for one reason, to make tefillin.
Yeah. Fine. Okay. So let's see the Gemara. We continue. So we get to the sugya. I don't want to keep you all in suspense. If any of you are wondering, we actually paskin like Rava. We actually paskin like Rava that Hazmona is Lav Milsa. Hazmona is Lav Milsa. Okay, we have two Avraham Sheffields on the show at the moment. Avraham and his twin brother.
Maybe you said something that he didn't like and he's beside himself.
That could be. Doubled over with laughter. Avraham, you with us? Both of you? Right, okay. Oh, wow. How did Avraham do this? He's in two different rooms at the same time. Rob, you never told us. You're so talented.
Everything's okay.
Everything's all right.
So
That's the same room.
much for Makom Kavua.
I think you, Avrami, I think you can shut off your laptop if you're on your phone.
Okay, either way,
Should we?
Rob is with us. Okay, so look at the Gemara. Toshima. Kever Chodosh, we've had similar proofs already. Kever Chodosh Muta Bahano'o. A Kever Chodosh, a new grave. What does that mean, a new grave? Look at Rashi towards the very end of the narrow lines. Says Rashi, Kever Chodosh, Hashta Kosal Kadatoch. So whenever we see the words kosal kadatoch, we always point out it's the rule without an exception that kosal kadatoch means that this is a hava amina. But clearly, it's not going to remain lemaskana. So the hava amina is that what? Afilu zimnoi lemeis. Even if you have actually allocated this kever for a dead body, for a dead person, so it really constitutes a hazmana. As opposed to what we mentioned before, if it's allocated for somebody who is still currently alive, then that wouldn't even constitute a hazmona. So the hava mina is, it's a kasal kadatoch. The hava mina is, we're talking about somebody who indeed has died, and a grave has been designated for him. That's clearly hazmona. Back into the Gemara. The Gemara says, muta bahano. Hitil boy nefel. If you place into it a corpse, then osabahano becomes osabahano. That's the end of the braisa. So what does that clearly seem to indicate? Hitil, it would seem to be that it's only if you actually put the body in the grave. But loy hitil, loy, question mark. It would seem to be that if you do not place the dead body into the kever, then lemaisa does not become osa bahano. So that seems to be a raya that has mona lav milsa. So for the first time, we're bringing a proof to Rava. All the proofs until this stage have all been to a river. Somebody's got some interference, maybe on their phone, maybe Avram. I don't know if you're able to put your phone on mute. Maybe it's coming from there. I don't know if a function like that exists. But there's definitely some interference.
You have to mute the phone.
You mute the phone? Does that exist?
Yes.
Yeah.
Either way, we seem to have a proof that what? That as mona. No, we're getting some interference. So, Ravram, I think it's some interference on your phone. I'm hearing reverberating, hearing an echo.
Hey.
Larry assures us that you can mute your phone. Now it sounds.
That
Now it's on the heart monitor.
Why don't you mute your phone? Mute your phone. Mute your phone.
What was that?
Mute your phone.
Okay. Just a second, hold on.
Right.
Who's on first?
Right.
Rebbe, you know what that means? Who's on first?
Who's on first?
You have no idea what that is.
What does it mean, who's on
Oh
first?
dear. We
Forget
are
it.
so ignorant.
It's so American. Forget it. It's an
Who's
Abbott and
on?
Costello routine about baseball. Forget it. It's 100 years old.
Don't know who's on second. I don't care
It's
though.
like Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle. Now you talk English. Fine. Who's on first? I'm sorry, I'm the uninitiated. Okay. Back to more important subjects. So we seem to have a riot from a braisa that has mona lav milsa. Because it says that when you initially dug the cava for a dead body, that was the havamina, it's mutar b'hanav. When you placed the dead body in the cava, it became osur b'hanav. So the Gemara is making a diuk, says Rashi on the last narrow line, loy hitil loy va'afal gav dehizmin. Even though there was a hazmona, nonetheless, it seems to be that what? The hazmona itself is nothing until you put a dead body in it. So we seem to have a raya that hazmona lav milsa. Says the Gemara. No. Hu adin de afal gav de loy hitil. Really, the truth is that the same would apply. Again, this is now Abaya defending his position. Abaya says, even if you did not put the dead body and all there was mere hazmona, says Abaya, that would be the same. So if that's the case, so why indeed did the Braisa add the extra clause of that they put a dead body in? Teretz is Ula Afuke, it's coming to oppose the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Because Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says, Da Omar Ein Lenefolim Tfisas HaKever.
We've got here translation of stillborn
Correct.
for Nephilim.
A Nephel is a child who either was stillborn, Rachmana Litzlanu, who died within 30 days. Now, we know from other areas of halacha that a child who Rachmana Litzlan dies within 30 days, the halacha differs with regard, for example, to avelus. If somebody Rachmana Litzlan, if a child dies within 30 days, there is no avelus. Because until they are 30 days old, they're not yet considered to be a bar kayoma. That, by the way, is the explanation for the fact that you only do a pidyon haben after 30 days. Because after that, he now can be classified definitely for the first time as a non-nephel. So, just like if a child dies young, Rachmana Litzlan, less than 30 days, he's considered a nephel, and there's no halachas of avelus. What's the halacha if you place a nephel into a kever? Do all the halachas apply that the kever become osur b'hanav? So the opinion, as quoted by the Gemara of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, is that what? Is that the nephel is not tofes the kever, which means that he does not render the kever osur b'hanav because it's not considered to be a dead body. He was never a bar kayom in the first place. So Abaya says that this braisa was coming to oppose that opinion. Again, what was the kasha? The kasha was, according to Abaya, that hazmona is milsa. So surely the digging of the grave should render it osur b'hanav. Why did the braisa add those words that they lowered a nephel into the grave? And the answer is, it's true. Essentially, the hazmona was sufficient. Hazmona was sufficient. So why did the Brice ever mention anything about lowering a Nefel into the Keva? In order to be machadosh to us that we don't paskin like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, rather we hold that it makes no difference whether it's a dead body or a Nefel, either of them would render the Keva osa bahano. Look at Rashi. Rashi explains in further detail. On the first white line, v'kever chodosh de ka'omar. We said the havamina was that he dug it out for a dead person. No, de ka'omar kishe chotzvoi lo odom chai. Had it been a proper hazmona, indeed, Abaya says it would have become awesome. So, what does it mean? It did not become awesome. It's talking about you did a hazmona even prior to the person dying. And as we've already discussed many times, a hazmona for a live person, a hazmona of a keva for a live person does not take effect because that usage doesn't yet exist. Oi, says Rashi, stam lechashi yitztorech. Now this might come back, Larry, to your tefillin question. What does it mean, stam lechashi yitztorech? It means either case number one was I had somebody in particular in mind to put into this keva, but he hasn't yet died. Or I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just digging in a grave. Lekashi etzarech, whoever might need it. And that's not called hazmana because I did not have somebody specific in mind. Again, that might be an ager in the tefillin story. Person who made tefillin in the store or talis, whatever. It was not placed as an order. He just had it in the store lined up for whoever comes. There's no hazmona. Says Rashi, therefore, the reason why the keva is not asa bahano at the moment is because there was no hazmona. According to Abaya, were there to be a proper hazmona, then absolutely that would have rendered it asa bahano. But there was no hazmona. Again, what did we think it meant? Remember, we pointed out Rashi says salkadatach. It's only a havamina that always must change. So, what was the havamina? The havamina was that we're talking about a regular hazmana for somebody who has passed away. According to Abaye, what would happen at that stage? That's it. Game over. The keva is asa b'hano. So, why did the Brisa say that the keva is muta b'hano? So he says, because you misunderstood the case. There was no hazmona after the person passed away. There was no hazmona at all. It was either dug out for a live person, which as we've explained is not hazmona, or it was dug out with nobody particular in mind that's also not a hazmona. So it's not as we previously understood that it was hazmona for somebody who died. There was no hazmona. So what is the chiddush of the braisa then? Says Rashi, Vahai de Ka'omar Hitil. So that which the Braisa then spoke about, Hitil, you lowered, you placed into the grave this Nefel, Mishum de Bo'i La'ashminon, because it wants to come and teach us, the Nefel, Toifes, Kivroi, that the Nefel will, as it were, grab hold of his grave, La'oisroi, in order to render it Asa Afal Gav Shepinehu. Even if afterwards you remove the Nefel from the ground. Remember, we said this yesterday. As long as the dead body is in the grave. So obviously it's awesome. The question is always after you take the dead body out of the grave, will it remain awesome based on the fact that there was hazmona? So according to Abaya says that's exactly what this Bryce has come to Mechadish. That a Nefel is Tophus his Kaver. What does it mean? Tophus his keva. Tophus means to grab. He grabs his keva, as it were. When he is buried in the ground, we do not distinguish between him and an older person. Says Rashi, Olafukid Reb Shimon Masechtas Ohalois. Because Reb Shimon in Masechtas Ohalois said something different. What did he say? That a Nefel is not Tophus es Kivroi. So according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. Remember, in our case, there was no hazmona because it was done, for example, when he was alive. So the hazmona is so far nothing. Then you lower the body into the keva. But which body? It's a nefel. So according to Shimon Gamliel, nothing's happened. Why has nothing happened? Because a nefel does not render the keva osibano, says the Gemara, in the opinion of Abaya. Our Braisa is coming to teach us the opposite. Even if you put a nefel into a keva, that will render the keva osibano, just like anybody else will render the keva osibano.
Rebbe,
Yes.
I don't know. In America, it's very common that for a husband and wife, if one of them dies first, they have a double matzeva, and they bury the first person, and then they leave a space right next to them where they're definitely going to be the spouse is definitely going to be buried.
Yeah.
So let's say the spouse dies, but they haven't buried him yet. From the second that that spouse dies, that part that even though it's not dug yet. But that space next to the spouse is hasmana for that person. They've died, and it was specifically for them. And there's a space on the matzeva for them. Does that then become then that that's the whole issue of
That's
hasmana
clear, because
milsa,
as we
right?
saw yesterday, hasmona, which didn't initially take effect, won't automatically take effect unless there's some maaser later on, like putting on an extra row of bricks.
Well, what if they did start digging?
Right, maybe that, yeah.
So the second they
Okay. No,
dig, even though they
but
haven't
one
buried
second.
yet.
No, but one second. The spouse is still alive. Stuff so it can't be
No,
as
what happened is this. One spouse dies, and oftentimes they put up a double matzeva, right? And they're letting you know that when the second spouse goes, that they're gonna be buried right next to them. But then the second spouse dies, right? But they haven't buried him yet. But the space is provided. Oh, quick, they died. This is their space. It's hasmona. So you're saying that unless they do something, the second they put that first
right.
shovel in.
If they dug it out whilst the second spouse is still alive, as we said, that's not hasmona.
No, they would start digging. Like they heard they died, they prepared for Levayas tomorrow.
Yes, then
It
you'll be
was,
right.
but then still, hasmana lav milsa.
We paskin lav milsa. Yes, according to Abaye, you'll be right. Yeah, we paskin alocha that is lav milsa. Okay, so the Gemara continues now in similar theme. Again, we're still looking for raya, lakan or lakan. As it were, every single raya so far has been defended by the relevant party. Says the Gemara, Toshma. Don't read this as mutar. Moisar hameisim lemeisim. Moisar hameis liyoreshov. Now, this is a fascinating halacha, which actually is a halacha. On the one hand, it's true in Hilchas Avelos, but it's also a halacha in Hilchas Tzedakah, and that is, if money is raised for a particular mitzvah, it's a general shaila, very important shaila, and then some of the money is not needed. I actually had this shaila as we speak. We have a family now at Kehillah. Unfortunately, tragedy struck almost a year ago. The young wife passed away. A campaign was made to raise funds, and a lot more money than we definitely thought was needed came in. They're talking, Imitz Hashem, perhaps, of him remarrying. So now the question would become, lahalacha, if some of that money which was raised for a specific mitzvah, what happens if all of a sudden he remarries, his family is now reset up, and they don't need any more funding? And I happen to have 10,000 shekel lying in the account with no way of tracing who those donations came from. I've got cash in an envelope. So this is a general shaila. What do you do? That's called moisar, not mutar. Moisar means what's left over, like actually in this week's parasha. This week's parasha, we have the issa of noisar with a nun. If you leave a korban that remains overnight, that's called noisar. So it's the same root. So Moisa, what happens when you have leftover money? What do you do with it now? What happens, for example, if somebody has a yeshiva or a kollel? This happens very, very often. And for whatever reason, the kollel closes down. But it happens to be in his kollel account. He's got 50,000 shekel from various donors. What do you do? Must you trace them and track back and give it to them? Obviously, you can't pocket the money. Can you give it to another Torah institution without consulting the donor first? Maybe the donor only gave it to you because he wanted this particular Torah institution supported. But he's not interested in if you give the money to another yeshiva, etc., etc. A complicated shaila. So either way, with relevance to us, this is what we're talking about with regard to not a yeshiva, but for a mace, for a keva. So money was allocated for a mace. What does that mean for a mace? So money was raised or allocated to pay for the keva, the levaya, the hespedim, whatever it may be. And now you've got a moisa, money left over. What should we do? So look back into the Gemara now. Moisar ha-meisim. If you've got money that's left over, it was allocated for dead people, and now I've got no usage for that money, says the Gemara. What happens to that moisar? It goes lemeisim. It goes for other dead people. But if it was moisar ha-meis, not meisim, it wasn't money that was collected in a general term for dead people. For example, the local Chevra Kadisha might have a funding system where they're not raising funds for a particular individual, just for general dead people. So now all the dead people have been buried, fine. So keep the money at hold, and if any other dead people come in the future, use it for that. But if it's Moisar HaMeis, if money was you was raised for a particular mace, so what am I going to do with the leftover money? Says the Braiser, Le Yoroshov, to his inheritance. So what does that show? That's the end of the Braiser. Is that a proof to Abaya or to Rava? Is that a proof that Azmona is Milsa or Lav Milsa?
No,
It would seem to imply that Azmona is Lav Milsa. Because if Hasmona is Milsa, why don't we say this money was specifically allocated for this particular mace? It's true that this mace no longer needs it, but you can't now allocate it for somebody else. So what should you do with it? Finish, it's stuck. I don't know, put it away until Mashiach comes. Have a look at Rashi, second wide line. Moisarameisim govut stoka. If they collected stoka lemeisei mitzvah. Right, so the Chevra Kadisha always have a fund for Meisei Mitzvah. Under ordinary circumstances, the person themselves, the family, they'll pay for the burial. But what happens if you have a Meisei Mitzvah where there's no family? So there's no family that could pay the cost, but clearly it costs money to make the arrangements. So they have a fund for that. Oy la'aniyim Meisim, or for people who are not Meisei Mitzvah, they're just poor. So it's not a dead body that was found at the side of the street. We don't know who it is. We know who the particular individual is, but the family have no way of funding the keva, so we have a fund for that. We collect money. Vohoisiru mehen, and there was money left over. Yanichum letzorech meisim acherim. So then you'll leave it over for other meisim, because the money was never allocated for one particular mace, rather, for the Mason. It's the Chevra Kadisha's annual fundraising campaign. So it happened to be that this year, Baruch Hashem, there were less Mason than they thought. Less Mason, it's fine. So it'll spill over. They'll use it for next year. If, however, it is Moisar HaMace, which means Gavul Hashem Mace Ploini, it's collected for a particular mace, not meisim in the plural. Then liyorshav, it goes to the inheritors, lehonos mehen, for them to benefit from. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Alma hazmona lav milsa. Because if hazmona was milsa, how can I give it to the yorshim? It was never allocated for them. It was allocated for that particular dead person. So it's true. That particular dead person doesn't need it. Okay, but what gives us the right now to use it for something else? I should just put it aside. Actually, Elio. Yes, from Nachum.
Can't you split the brisa and say that when it says Mason the Mason, that is Milsa? It's already designated for this group of people, so the Meiser will go to other Mason. And the second part of the brisa, it
Stop, stop,
switches
stop,
from.
stop, 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 stop. What was the first case? The Chevra Kadisha made a fundraising campaign for any family, says Rashi, who is poor. Okay, this is the Tovshin Hey Hey campaign. At the end of the year, they see that this year there were less poor families than we thought. So I've got $1,000 left over. So what do we do with that?
You're going to hold it for future aniyim.
Right.
So not that's hazmona.
Correct. But does this prove hazmona milsa or hazmona lav milsa?
I feel that part of the brisa is milsahi. The second part of the brisa is lav milsahi.
Then you've got a steer in one brisa. How can that be?
But if it's saying mason the mason, that means it's already categorized for mason. So there was a hazmona.
Yeah. Is hazmona milsa? Kind of a steer for one line of the brisa to the next. So what is whoever authored this brisa? Does the author of this brisa hold hazmona is milsa or lav milsa?
Lav milsa, then why is it mason, mason, the mason? Let's say, okay, the shul collected money for mason. There's no one mason, so now whoever wants it can get it because lav milsa he. Why does it go to other mason?
Right, so that's a fair question. We can't say that the Risha holds hazmona milsa. So we have a fair question. If the Gemara is trying to support the notion of hazmona lav milsa, and that's why money collected for a particular mace can now be given to his inheritors, then before we even try to defend the position of Hazmona Lav Milsa, but let's just explain the position of Hazmona, excuse me, before we try and explain the opinion of Hazmona Milsa, even the opinion of Hazmona Lav Milsa, how does he explain the ratio? Why, when you've designated money for the Mason, would you have to give it to Mason? There are no Mason. Yes, Blair.
Because he would say that it was for a particular dead person.
That's the safe. What about the ratio?
Where it says Mason?
Mason was not for a particular Rashi. Like Rashi said, it's just for any Mason mitzvah who might we might chance upon. Okay, at the end of the year, we see we've still got money left in the bank account. So it doesn't say, oh, fine, so take the money and use it to buy pizza. So it's got to be used for Mason, albeit not this year's Mason. Fine, use it.
So you're trying to say that that's Hazmona Milsa in a certain sense.
That's Nachum's question, which can't be. Because then you're asking a contradiction from one line to the next in the Braisa. That can't be. Okay, so Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see. There's a whole Hemshach to this Gemara, how each one will explain, because there is a safer to this Braisa. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll see this next time. And hopefully Nachum's question will be answered.